the rest of the story. Oklahoma was about 30 years from statehood. That's when Laban Miles, L-A-B-A-N, Laban Miles, arrived in the Osage Hills. He came as a federal supervisor in the Osage Indian lands. They called him Indian agents in those days, and many of them were a corrupt bunch. And yet, in an effort to curb the corruption, President Ulysses Grant had begun appointing Quakers to such positions. Not only were the Quakers honest, but ever since the times of William Penn, Native Americans seemed to respect them more than other white men. And so it was that in 1878, President Grant appointed a Quaker named Laban Miles as agent for the Osage. The government agency in that territory was far removed from so-called civilization, but Laban liked it just fine. He had always been sympathetic to the plight of Native Americans. Now he had the opportunity to make a difference in their destiny, and so he counseled the Osage not in English, as many had tried before, but in their own native language. He was also completely tolerant of the Osage religion, unlike innumerable agents before him. Then when oil was found on tribal land, when oil was discovered, Laban Miles fought to preserve the rights of the Osage in regard to the discovery and any profits therefrom. In fact, Laban J. Miles became so revered, so beloved by the Osage, that at least one Native American author dedicated a book on Osage history to him. Laban's compassion and sense of responsibility to the Osage manifested themselves in his private life as well. For while children in the white man's world were reading youth magazines featuring wild Indian stories, Laban forbade his own youngsters to peruse such literature, and that restriction also applied to Laban's nephew Bert, who had been sent by his family to live at the Osage agency for a year or so. In fact, the relationship of Bert and his idealistic Uncle Laban is the rest of the story. You see, Bert had been orphaned at 9. Bert had been orphaned, and so with no father to guide him, Laban Miles became a profound influence in the boy's life, as did the Osage Indians themselves. Native American children became his playmates, taught Bert how to make campfires, how to shoot arrows with a bow, and walk barefoot safely through the woods. It was a magical time for an Iowa-born youngster, and it was a benchmark in his life. He would declare that many times throughout later years, and he would demonstrate it. For history books record that when Herbert Clark Hoover ran for president in 1928, he selected as his running mate an Osage Indian. And when Hoover became president, he fought long and hard for the rights of Native Americans, often against considerable political pressure to the contrary. But now and henceforth, as you read of the pro-Indian inclinations of our 31st president in the history books, you will recall the small orphan boy named Bert, from whom that president grew. And I hope you'll recall the wonderful, wondrous year that he spent among the Osage, and the legacy of a Quaker gentleman named Laban Miles, who saw Native Americans not as a problem, but as people. And now you know the rest of the story.